And welcome now to the Midday for a Friday. I'm Norman Gilliland. Our quiz question today will have to do with the movies, as it often does on a Friday. And speaking of the movies, there's a long tradition of live music accompanying films, going really way back to the beginning of films, but then getting more elaborate, including at times, often, full live orchestral accompaniments to films, such as Prokofiev's music for Alexander Nevsky back in the silent days. More recently, Harry Potter has been making the rounds in that context with live symphonic music, and this weekend, June 16th and 17th, at Overture Hall in Madison, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets will be accompanied by the Madison Symphony, led by Jeffrey Schindler. And conductor Schindler is with me here in the midday to give us some insights into what it's like conducting an orchestra to a film. Welcome to the midday.
Thank you, Norman. A pleasure to be here.
It sounds rather daunting because if it's one thing, I mean, it's difficult enough for a theater organist to stay in sync with the film and the specific time posts in the film, but a whole orchestra, so how do you pull that off?
Well, we have a lot of tools at our disposal that are prepared to help us with synchronization. There's a special conductor's video that runs in frame synchronization with the actual large movie, if you will, that's projected on a giant screen that the audience will see. And on that are a variety of tools that we have. There's a time clock. There's a bar counter. There are streamers and punches.
Streamers? What are streamers and punches?
Streamers and punches are the way we actually synchronize music with film in the recording studio. I've been doing this for 25 years now.
So when you're actually producing the film.
Yes, when you're actually making the film. Of course, all of this is done electronically now, but way back in the day when they actually used emulsion and film, there would be somebody who would take a yardstick and you would make with a nail, score the actual emulsion from one side to the other. And since 1 second took 3 feet of film, 2 seconds took 3 feet of film, you would actually, when you projected that, see a streamer going across the projected movie when it was projected to, on the screen that you were recording to. Uh-huh. And literally at the end of that, they would take a regular desktop hole punch and put a punch right in it that, and you see this pop of light.
Uh-huh.
And all of this is designed to be seen peripherally. It's not just to help you synchronize, but it's also to help you do it while not staring at the screen so that you're able to actually engage the musicians and conduct the music. You can see these things peripherally. It's a system that has been in existence, I think, since they started recording sound for film.
So you don't actually get into this position where you're looking at the film and say, oh my gosh, look, we got to hurry. You know, you're suddenly conducting the orchestra.
Oh, faster. No. Wait a minute. I get in that position all the time.
Oh, okay.
It's just that I have an idea of where I'm supposed to be.
Pretty close, I'm guessing. Pretty close. About the score for these Harry Potter films, did John Williams do all of them?
No, John Williams only composed the music for the first three films.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to be conducting music then from one of the first three.
Yes, the second
John
movie, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets.
And how's it going?
Ask me in a couple of hours. I have my first rehearsal in just a little
bit less than
2 hours, yes.
but
forward to it tremendously. I've heard wonderful things about the Madison Symphony.
Have you done live orchestral performances with films?
I am actually coming up on my 100th performance of a Harry Potter film.
How do you feel about that?
Incredibly privileged, actually. It's an absolute thrill, and I'm honored to be part of this franchise, and I'm honored to touch this music and make this music. It's a thrill.
Have you memorized the film now? I mean, can you actually, or are you too caught up with the music to hear all the dialogue closely enough to...
No, I know what's going on.
You know what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I suppose it's not a lot different from doing, musical theater, Broadway.
No, it's just that, in this particular case, the actual kind of universe doesn't change. It doesn't... If we were looking at an Einsteinian universe, the fabric of space-time, time has to change. the space doesn't.
The film doesn't change.
The film doesn't change, so yeah, whereas, we have to accommodate that.
Yeah, whereas a musical, there are all kinds of variables.
Exactly, as an opera. You know,
well,
you can,
oh, yes. Yeah.
So that's a more plastic medium than this. We have to be in synchronization with the film, of course. That's fixed.
Well, we have a couple of bits of music from the film, and what can you tell us about the first one?
Which is the first one that we're doing?
The first one would be that very one that you selected. Remember that one?
Yes, the flying car. Well, this is where Dobby has kind of jinxed Harry so that they couldn't get to track 9 3/4. And so instead, they take the flying car to Ron and Ron's home.
Okay, and we're going to take it on track 5.
Okay.
Here we go.
Good one.
Can almost smell the popcorn. That was from Harry Potter and the third of the Harry Potter films, Chamber of Secrets.
Second, actually.
But all three of the first three with sound music provided by John Williams. So that was the sound of the John Williams, a very distinctive sound for a guy who's done how many films? I mean, give or take 100, you know.
Hundreds, yeah. Give or take 100. I don't think he's reached 4 figures yet, but
he's working on it very diligently. And the Chamber of Secrets is going to be performed by the Madison Symphony, led by my guest, Jeffrey Schindler, in Overture Hall, June 16th and 17th. That's this Saturday and Sunday. And it's your chance to see a full orchestra live performing the original score to this film. So it's a whole new way. Based on the experience I've had with other films, I would say it's even more exciting than the original film to have that whole orchestral presence there.
It's a really kind of interesting take and a different way of enjoying a film that many, many people are familiar with. Just to explain briefly, if people aren't familiar with this emerging art form, really, what you would see when you come to this concert is the movie that you know, the same dialogue, the same sound effects. There's nothing taken out at all except for the soundtrack. And the music is all going to be played live by your very own wonderful Madison Symphony Orchestra. So you first of all get the visceral experience of an actual symphony orchestra with almost 100 people playing, but you also get the same kind of emotional feedback and response from the entire audience that is surrounding you. So it's quite an interesting experience, and people become very, very enthusiastic and interactive.
But, you know, unlike, Jeffrey, unlike a straight concert of classical music, maybe you don't respond that much to the audience anyway when you're conducting. You just kind of conduct the way you want to conduct, and the audience reacts the way they want to react, and there's no actual interaction there? Or how does that all work?
Oh, I think there's interaction. People are laughing at the jokes in the movie. People are gasping at the drama and surprises in the film. And there have been many times where spontaneous applause has broken out at the virtuosity that the orchestra not only shows, but has to bring to playing this music.
Okay, so it's...
It's definitely an interactive experience.
A thing unto itself.
Yes.
Now, what about the spiders?
Well, Hagrid has been arrested, and Harry and Ron go into the dark forest to consult with Aragog, the spider who Hagrid had released many, many years before, and who they believed was responsible for the death of a student many, many years before. And they discover that they need to get away from the spiders very, very quickly.
Uh-huh.
So we have this wild cue.
Thank you.
spiders. Well, it does have a kind of a spidery quality to it, doesn't it? From Harry Potter, and this would be the Chamber of Secrets. That's the Harry Potter film that's being performed this weekend. I wanted to say live, which in fact, in part, it is being performed live because the music will be live, provided by the Madison Symphony in the tradition of, I don't know, did they do it with, did they have live accompaniment, Jeffrey, to films once they had sound? Or was that originally just a thing for silent movies, you know?
I think the changeover happened pretty quickly. Once the technology existed, I believe that producers and directors made use of the control that it gave them over their final product.
Sure. And, of course, a lot of prominent composers wrote for Hollywood films, not just Hollywood. But
just films in general.
Yeah,
yes,
films
absolutely.
In general, a lot of them. We have one more track here from Harry Potter. I always think of, was it St. Pancras Station that the fantastic part of the movie, walking into a wall or something, and that's how they get to Hogwarts?
I'm really not sure, but it sounds like it could be.
Yeah, it looked like it to me.
That's one of the train stations in London I haven't been to.
Oh, so. Okay, yeah, the northern part, as I recall. But yeah, it certainly reminded me of Harry Potter. Anyway, so we have one more from this that we're going to listen to, and has to do with rebirth, and that's a popular theme, I guess, in these films. What does that refer to?
Well, this refers to Fawkes the Phoenix being reborn. Fawkes the Phoenix is obviously a phoenix. He rises from the ashes. He is essentially resurrected every time he disintegrates.
That we could all.
If only. But he is also, in a very real way, the deus ex machina of the movie. He saves Harry a number of times. I don't want to give away too much, just in case there are people out there who haven't read the book or haven't seen the film.
We've been chided for not providing spoiler alerts, so yeah.
I'm not going to do a spoiler, so there you go. There is no spoiler alert because there won't be a spoiler. But this is absolutely beautiful material that you can really feel rising from the ashes and soaring as Fawkes is reborn.
One of the pieces that comes from Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. And that's all we're going to say about that, except that it has to do with rebirth. You do get into some slippery slopes here, don't you, Jeffrey, when you start talking even about the music, which can be so closely tied to the plot in the film.
Precisely.
But the Madison Symphony will be performing this music live. Much of the music from Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. That's also a little different from a classical concert, isn't it, in that you're playing all the time for, whatever, 2 hours straight?
These movies have a lot of music in them. It is really wall-to-wall music. There's very, very little downtime, very little break. It's a marathon. It's very demanding. In so many ways for the orchestra, for an orchestra. It is nonstop. It requires a tremendous amount of concentration as well as a tremendous amount of virtuosity.
And you have to walk that fine line, don't you, between being conspicuous and being inconspicuous. In other words, you're not supposed to like upstage the visuals at all, and yet you want to be reinforcing them.
Well, we come with a production team that includes a sound mixer who's very familiar with the film and knows how to balance the dialogue and effects with the orchestra. But of course, the point here too is to, in a way, show how the music reflects and enhances what's happening on the screen. So it will be more present. But that's kind of the point, too.
I would think.
Yes.
We'll have a great time with it.
Thanks so much. I'm really looking forward to it.
Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, in concert featuring the Madison Symphony. The conductor, Jeffrey Schindler, has been my guest, and it's taking place this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at Overture Hall in Madison, Virginia.